if you're going to be around Laughlin, Nevada this week, be sure and check in at the UFO Congress at the Aquarius Resort Casino, where the UFO Congress is being held. Patrick Heron is one of the speakers.
Now, we only have a couple of minutes left. On the DVD, the documentaries, both of them, the Christian and the secular versions, you have lots of visuals, lots of special effects?
Oh, yeah. There's lots of animation, lots of footage in there, lots of different experts giving their stuff. And it's very, very cool. All the people that are in it, like, and they're talking about Israel and how Israel plays such an important part, and how that a lot of the wars these days, they're not to do with money or land, but they're taking on a total spiritual nature. It shows the whole connection about why the Arabs are now kicking up their feet big time, how China is going to come into the future thing. It's very slick, Jerry, very professional, some good animation. I get to do my thing in there, and the bonus section then is another hour long of stuff. So it's very, very good. Can I just give you the free phone number if folks would like to order that?
Well, sure.
Well, there's a free phone number they can ring, which is 800-811-0548. That's 1-800-811-0548. Or you can go to www.grizzlyadams.tv. That's Grizzly Adams.tv. And you can check it out on the website. And now my book, The Nephilim, is not available to buy in America at the moment because there's a blackout period from July to when it comes out in the stores in a few weeks before Christmas. So if anybody wants to buy that, they have to get it from my website, and I'll sign it and dedicate it for them. And it's called NephilimApocalypse.com. NEPHILIM, NephilimApocalypse.com. And
we have all of that right here on the page where this radio show is, and people can find it. Your original book is coming out next year too, right, here in America?
Yeah, my original book, the first book that I had was called Apocalypse Soon.
Uh-huh.
That was a bestseller in Ireland 9 years ago, and that's going to be published again by Anomalous Publishing in Oregon, and that's coming out in January. And people can check that out on RaidersNewsUpdate.com. By the way, he has an online magazine called Anomalous, A-N-O-M-O-L-O-S. And I've just written an article for that, which is really, really cool. I believe it's just some really new insight into it, into what's coming down the tubes in the future. Because these Nephilim, these fallen angels, which were the gods, that's with a small g, of Greece and Rome and Egypt back then, they're coming back, Jerry. And I've done a whole article on it, and it's going to be on that online magazine at the end of the week, at the end of September. And it's pretty cool stuff, and pretty hair-raising stuff too. I'll tell you what, when I read it myself, it makes the hairs stand up on the back of my neck. What few hairs I have.
So these entities from somewhere else, other dimension or somewhere, when they come back, they're going to be raising havoc like they did the first time?
Well, the first few years they're going to be here, it seems like everything's going to be hunky-dory. There's going to be a pseudo-peace, which I think most of the scholars believe it's going to last 3.5 years. It's going to be under the leadership of one of these guys, one of these Nephilim, who were originally on the earth back prior to the flood of Noah. And we're given his name in Revelation chapter 9. They're locked up in the subterranean prison.
So Apollo will be back. Will it be the same Apollo?
Same guy. And remember, Apollo in Greek literature, if you read about Apollo, he was the epitome of the beauty of man, of music, of prophecy, of medicine. He had his oracle there in Delphi in Greece. Everybody loved this guy.
Patrick, how's this going to happen? By magic, or is there going to be a space landing or something? Or?
Well, two things are going to happen, Jerry. Apollo and his mates that originally fell to Earth way back in Genesis 6 were told that they're locked up in this subterranean prison, which is called the Pit. It's called the Abyss. It's called the Deep.
Yes.
In the New Testament, it's called Tartarus, or Tartarus. And, of course, that ties in with the Tartarus of Greek and Roman mythology, where we're told that the gods are imprisoned because they rebelled against Zeus. They're going to be released again onto the earth, according to Revelation chapter 9. But at the same time, we're told that Lucifer, Satan, the devil, you know, the prince of darkness, the main man, it says there's going to be a war in heaven between him and his spirit men, or fallen angels, and Michael and his good guys, and they are, they are defeated, and they are cast down to earth about the same time. And it says, woe unto the earth, because the devil and his angels are cast down. So they are going to reappear on the earth again. So, and most of the people in the world, Jerry, are going to be deceived by these guys, and they're going to embrace these guys as gods, as superior spirit guys full of power, full of magic, who are going to deceive the whole world with our lying signs and wonders under the leadership of this guy called Apollo, except for the elect of God. You know what I mean? Except for a certain amount, they're going to realize who this guy is. And I got a very interesting email. Have we time to go into this?
Sure.
I got a very interesting...
It'll take time.
Okay. Very interesting email from a young man in New Zealand a few months back. And he's a Christian guy. He said him and some of his friends were going to into Iraq as prayer warriors. I told him he was nuts, but he said he knew what he was doing. And he told me, he got in contact with me because he found my book. And the reason he found my book on the net was because he told me he had this vision last year. It was a dream, but he believes it was a vision. And in this vision, somebody said, look, and he looked up in the air, and he saw all these pyramids coming down out of the sky and landing on the earth. And he said some of them were as big as the pyramids of Giza in Egypt. And he looked at them and he said, the Nephilim are coming. Now, that was all the dream was. And I wrote back to him and I said, do you think this was just an ordinary dream or what? And he said, Patrick, he said, this was a definite vision. He says, I woke up shaking like a leaf. And then I got to thinking about it. And you see, the reason that the original fallen angels built the Great Pyramid in Giza is because Satan or Lucifer always copies or imitates or duplicates what the true God does. So that's why when they built this Great Pyramid, they built it as an earthly representation of the city they had come from in heaven. But they built it as monuments to their own pride, their own ego, their own hubris. And then I got to thinking, well, these guys know that when the new Jerusalem comes in the future, it's in the shape of a pyramid. So would it not make sense, maybe, if these guys, when they do arrive, when they do fall to earth, the devil, with all the rest of his spirit men, come to earth and manifest themselves, that they might turn up in, you know, spaceships, quote, end of quote, that are shaped like pyramids. And maybe that'll be the connection, because you know how everybody in the world is fascinated by the Great Pyramid of Giza and by the other pyramids in Mexico and Palenque, and then you have pyramids in Guatemala, all over the place.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that that's for sure, but maybe that's what's going to happen, Jerry. If you're around here still and you see it happening, you'll remember this conversation.
Well, and they can find it on our website. That is, if our website's still around, which I...
Please God, the website's around, and we won't be.
Well, that's our plan. Not that we're planning on leaving anytime soon.
You never know, Jerry, the way things are happening in this world, things happen very fast.
They certainly do. And as you know, I do a lot of UFO shows, and it's part of our thing. And every time you talk about these pyramids coming down from heaven or from the sky or from somewhere, I always think of these gigantic flying triangles. Have you ever thought about that?
No, never heard anything about those.
Well, there's one that went over Phoenix that was a mile wide in 1997.
Wow.
And I just wonder if this is a precursor to something like what you're talking about.
Well, I don't know, but it might make sense, you know, that these guys are going to show up in pyramid-shaped spaceships, because that would give them a good parallel, and they'd be able to say, look, we were here before. We built the Great Pyramid of Giza. And it says God, you know, most of the people in the earth, it says God is going to send them a great delusion, that they should believe the lie. And a lot of scholars think that this lie is going to be, look, here we are, we're gods, we're coming down, we're going to bring you on to the next step of your evolution. We got all rid of those Bible thumpers and all those crazy Christian evangelicals. We don't need them anymore. We got rid of them. Now we can move on as a species to the next level of our evolution. And it says the whole world is going to worship this guy. And he's going to have a government.
As you know, Patrick, a heavy dose of spiritualism does do just what you said.
Well, absolutely. And this guy is called the Antichrist. And anti means in the stead of. It doesn't mean against. It means in. So the world is going to accept this guy when it rejected the first Messiah. And it says he's going to deceive the whole world with his lying signs and miracles and wonders. You're talking about powerful spirit beings who are going to be able to do magic. In fact, it says that the false prophet, the religious sidekick of this guy, is going to be able to take a statue of Apollo, a statue, and breathe life into it where he comes alive. This guy is going to be killed with a head wound, it says. He's going to be assassinated, I guess. And he's going to be brought back to to life in front of the whole world. So this, everybody's going to think that this guy is the real deal.
And this, which, you know, those prophecies seemed, not real or whatever until the event of modern communications. Now we can see anything that happens in the world at any time.
Absolutely. And in another place it talks about two witnesses who got up and prophesied on behalf of God and do all sorts of things for 3.5 years. But finally the two of these guys are killed by this guy, Apollo, and it says their bodies lie in the street for 3 days. Or 3.5 days, and it says the whole world see this, and they have a big party because these guys are lying in the street. So the only way you can do that is with Sky Television and CNN and Fox and all the rest of the stuff. I mean, there's a lot of things that are happening now that were impossible 100 or 150 years ago, Jerry. Even when it talks about that the mark of the beast, 666, that everybody's going to have a mark either.
I always figured that was the computer chip or whatever, the little barcode.
Yeah, well, possibly. You know, a lot of them. I mean, I have a book here by a guy called E.W. Bullinger, who's an incredible biblical scholar, and he wrote a book, a commentary on the book of Revelation 100 years ago. And when he wrote about 666, he says, in this future government, they're going to have a system of accounting whereby they'll be able to keep track of the buying and selling of everybody in the whole world. Now, imagine that guy wrote that 100 years ago.
And
they barely had the telegraph.
Right. And
now, you know, if I go to the States, and I do some, I buy something on plastic with my card, it ends up in my bank account 15 seconds later in Dublin.
Oh, I know.
You know, the writing is on the wall. In fact, at the end of the book of Daniel, when Daniel asked Gabriel, this spirit man, what did all these prophecies mean and when they were going to come to pass, the angel, Gabriel, said to mind your own business. He said, the prophecies are sealed up until the time of the end. And he said, in the end times, knowledge will be increased, and many will to and fro. And I believe it's talking about knowledge, like scientific knowledge and technical knowledge, but also knowledge of these end times prophecies, Jerry. Because the book of Revelation has been a closed book to Christians and to scholars for the last 2,000 years, basically. But now it's beginning to reveal itself. Apocalypse means the unveiling, as in the taking of the veil away from the face to reveal what's behind the veil. Or it's like pulling back the curtains to reveal what's behind the curtain. The veil has been taken away, and all these things are fitting into place, and we're beginning to see all these things, like the technical stuff and how it fits in. So, very exciting times.
More Patrick Heron coming up in a moment with some final thoughts about his work. It's pretty interesting. We do have to admit that, Patrick. So don't go away. Patrick is at the UFO Congress at the Aquarius Casino Resort in Laughlin, Nevada. This week at the UFO Congress, be sure and get by there if you're in the neighborhood. Tales of the Strange and the Unknown. Every month in Fate Magazine.
Fate.
Fate Magazine has actually been published continuously since 1948. That makes it the longest-running publication of its kind. From psychics and spiritualists, archaeological hotspots and fringe science, to authoritative UFO and paranormal investigations, Fate articles are factual, informative, and entertaining. Subscribe to Fate Magazine today. Simply go to FateMag.com, FateMag.com, or check it out at your local newsstand. Fate Magazine is a favorite for people looking for answers and for people looking for entertainment.
Fate.
Tales of the Strange and the Unknown. Now, we're going to let you go in a minute, but we're going to hold you over another 10 minutes or so because we got into some pretty interesting things here.
Okay, Jerry.
And basically, what I wanted to get into here with you is something that we talked a little bit about in our first interview, and that is how does the traditional biblical person, I hesitate to use the word fundamentalism, but
that's okay.
How do they react to what you're saying?
Well, you know, there's a huge body of conservative Christians in America who go to church on a Sunday for an hour and put in their $20 and, you know, go about their business. They're a little slow to be acceptable. In fact, I found it much easier to get on shows like yours, Jerry, and thank you for having me on, by the way, and for being broad-minded enough to allow me to come on. Whereas I've gone to other Christian radio stations, they don't want to let me on. They don't want to give me an interview.
Well, that's exactly my point.
But they don't want to think outside the nine dots, you know? Mm-hmm. And but I just don't think that they're ready yet. But I think with this DVD is coming out where I'm talking about myself. Because once people listen to what I have to say, and everything I talk about is in the Bible, and then I talk about the New Jerusalem and about it being a pyramid, they say, oh my goodness, I never thought about that before. When they think about when Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions, I go to prepare a place for you. What I'm doing in my interviews and what my book does is it puts flesh and muscle on the bones of a lot of the things that people were taught but they never thought about. I mean, most people have this, think of God as this invisible, ephemeral, ethereal, you know, thing out there.
Yeah, a spirit or the force or whatever, but you're saying that God is a real entity or being?
Absolutely, and I'm saying that there is, you know, they talk about, is there intelligent life in outer space? The answer, according to the Bible, is yes. It's in a place called heaven, quote, end of quote. It's in another dimension. This man is sitting on a throne. They're sitting on the right, on his right hand is his son, whose name is Jesus, surrounded by these 24...
Yeah, you and I had quite a spirited debate about that at one time. I have questions about the literal translation of it. You believe it means exactly what it says.
The whole Bible is literal, Jerry.
Yeah.
Even parables have a literal meaning, if you know what I mean. You know, when Jesus walked around down here, he did things and he said things.
Why do you think a God, a superior being, would want everybody to be subservient to him?
Well, I don't know. Does he want everybody?
I mean, if you have a king and you're worshiping the king, it seems to me that that's the second tier.
Well, maybe it is, but I tell you what. If I'm going to worship somebody, then it would be a guy like the Messiah who I'd want to worship.
Well, I'm not. Don't misunderstand me, and I hope the audience didn't misunderstand me last time. Even I'm not knocking the idea of a deity or of Christianity. I'm asking the question why? Why would it be that way? In other words, I just don't quite understand if the human spirit being necessary to be subservient to anything.
Well, I think, you see, I don't know if we're supposed to be subservient to anything. I think it's more of a way of a father with his children. Now, I don't know if you have your children.
I have two daughters.
Well, there you go.
And I have two grandchildren.
They're not subservient to you, are they?
Well, that's probably an understatement.
No, it's probably the other way around. But what I'm saying is the Christianity is more of a way of a father with his children. It's not a matter of being subservient. It's not a matter of reigning in hell and serving in heaven. I'd rather serve. If I'm going to serve somebody, I want to serve a man like Jesus, who did what he did, who loved people, who healed people, who fed people, who raised people from the dead, and who met the leper and he put his arms around him and hugged him and healed him. You know, that's the guy I want to be. Worship him, but it's more of a father.
I think what I'm saying here, Patrick, is Jesus, for instance, and his teachings, I have no problem following those at all, turn the other cheek, the golden rule, etc., etc. But the Old Testament and what you're talking about in Revelations, that's pretty damn violent.
Sure is violent.
I mean, so why would God want to do that?
Well, you know, somebody asked me this question the other day, and I get it all the time. Somebody say, well, if there's a benign, benevolent, loving God, why are there people dying, starving all over the place? Why do horrible things happen like Auschwitz?
Well, I personally think it's that we're left to our own devices, free will, if you wish.
Well, I think that possibly comes into it, but I think maybe people have to see these things. Maybe we have to be born into this horrible reality and see all the evil and seek out the good and seek out questions and seek out if there's something else there. But God could have created 100 billion robots to worship him, but if they didn't do it by their own free will, you know.
Well, I agree with you. I think what I'm saying here, and I look back over my life, I'm a fairly old guy now. I try to live the golden rule. I don't necessarily always succeed, but I really believe in trying to be good rather than evil. And basically, I don't think I needed all of the despair to teach me that.
Yeah, well, I know. Well, I don't know, Jerry. The question is, or I don't know. You know, Paul said one time, he said, you remember that expression, he says, now we see through a glass darkly, and he said, now we know in part. So we only know part of the story. He said, but when that which is perfect has come, then shall we know even as we are known. So we only know a small part of it.
See, I get a lot of flack, the reason I ask you about how the fundamentalists and other people would take to what you're saying, I get a lot of flack for putting on these type of shows from those groups of people. And I really, personally believe that we probably don't grasp one-tenth of what we've been told as far as what really happened back in prehistoric times there with the early part of the Bible. You're probably right about the fallen angels coming to Earth. I never really debated that with you. I'm more or less willing to accept that part.
It's a fascinating subject. Listen, I just before I came on the air with you, I got this email. It's from a guy called Dr. John Pelizzari, P-E-L-I-Z-Z-A-R-I. Message, he said, I have been studying the Nephilim for some time now. Your book puts all the pieces of the puzzle together into one of the most brilliant theses ever written on this subject. A must read for every true student of the Word of God. Bravo. Now that is typical of the type of thing I get from people who have read my book. What I'm providing, Jerry, is a whole bunch of evidence. The reason a lot of people don't think all this is a load of rubbish is because they've never heard enough evidence. Especially in countries like Ireland, where we were raised Catholics. I mean, we haven't got a clue what's going on here. So what I do is I provide enough evidence so that people can come to an informed verdict at the end of the thing. And I got an email from a guy a couple of months ago from Oregon who, since he read my book, he told me he's bought over 50 copies of my book and given them away. An 86-year-old woman down in North Carolina bought 36 copies when it came into the Christian bookstore, and she was selling them to her friends in the nursing home where she lived. Another guy, pastor in Maryland, and an Anglican vicar in Toronto bought over 30 and given them away. That's the type of response I'm getting. And a lot of secular people are reading my book, not just Christian people. But I think it's coming. I think everything is about timing. And I think the earth is ready for this revelation now. People are perplexed. They're looking at the TV. They're looking at all the crap that's happening on the news every night with all the stuff happening all over the world. And they're looking for answers. And what I'm saying, and I'd like to say to your listeners out there, is that, you know, I'm a Christian, but I wouldn't call myself a sort of fundamentalist or a nutty evangelical. I am those things. But I'm an ordinary guy. I'm the type of guy that you'd like to go out and have a few pints of Guinness with. You know, I enjoy my few pints of Guinness. I enjoy my life. I have fun. I sing songs. I do all that. You know, we're not all sorts of right-wing fundamentalists with a well-worn Bible in one hand and a shotgun and two slobbering Rottweilers, you know, growling, and the other hiding out in the woods in Wisconsin. A lot of us people are just ordinary, nice folks who's going to give you the shirt off your back if you need it. And I think if Jesus was here, he'd be the type of guy that you want to go and have a beer with. In fact, the religious people, you know, accused him of hanging out with drunkards and sinners because he was always down in the bar. They were the people he hung out with, and if he was here, he'd probably be wearing jeans and a T-shirt, and he'd be the type of guy you want to hang out with. He was a nice guy. He was a good guy. So we're not all sort of right-wing fundamentalist nuts, you know?
I think, Patrick, that's a good way to close the show. We wish you luck with the documentary and the new book, which is, they can go to your website and get it now.
Absolutely, and as I say, those DVDs will be in the shop.
So it'll all be perfect timing. Okay, thank you very much.
Jerry, thanks very much for having me, Alan.
Patrick Heron, it has been a pleasure. Folks, be sure and check out the DVD. You can order it right here on our website. We're going to close the show out with a reminder that Patrick will be at the UFO Congress in Laughlin this week. And here's a little bit of the soundtrack of that DVD. Until next time, this is Jerry Pippin. Cheers. By the way, this program has been edited by Jane Swartland.